so much more alive between my teeth.
Ronaldo, I don't want to fight,
she says, nearly vibrating by the time I'm within a foot of her. The tension between us is thick, and it tastes as sweet as her pussy after she comes for me. Then let's get the first one out of the way, I say. I remove my trench coat, then my button-up, allowing her to see the large bandage over my shoulder. While I undressed, she seemed enraptured, but now that her stare is locked on my injury, only concern shines through. She gasps and closes the gap between us, faintly brushing her fingertips over the bandage.
Tell me what happened.
I was in a terrible mood after our argument, I confess quietly, the words rumbling out of my chest. And the next day, we spotted a longtime enemy on our territory, someone I thought I had killed before. So I went there and iced them all, but they did manage to hit me. There's a tremor in her bottom lip, and I know she's picturing the scenario I laid out for her, imagining the moment a bullet sliced through my shoulder, the danger I immersed myself in the very day after she said that my job could get her and Sarah killed.
Was it worth it?
She asks, her words cracking at the seams. Yes.
Would you do it again?
Yes.
Will you keep doing it?
This time, I hesitate. I don't know. Maybe not. Her blue eyes finally flick to me, unshed tears within. This isn't a life I can walk away from, my love. But as Angelo told me, it is one that will allow me to retreat into the shadows. And for you, I would do that. I may not be able to guarantee that things will always be safe, but I can guarantee that as long as I breathe, I will always stand between you and a bullet. Sarah, too. She's not entirely satisfied with my answer, but she nods, deciding that it is good enough, at least for now.
And I may not be able to divorce John right now.
She hesitates for a split second, licking her lips.
But maybe I can when Sarah turns 18. She won't be young forever. And there will come a time when she moves on with life and creates one of her own. And then I won't be so beholden to John.
Just as Genevieve was unsatisfied by my response, I'm not entirely pleased about having to wait 4 more years to make her my wife. But it's enough. And regardless, my heart sings. It feels like for the first time in nearly a year, there just might be a future for Genevieve and me. One that doesn't end with either one of us suffering. Angelo knows a judge. When you are ready, I believe he will grant you a divorce. Shock flashes through her gaze, then happiness, and when a few tears finally spill from her eyes, they're complemented by a bright smile.
Yeah? Do you think he'd let me keep Parsons Manor?
She asks, staring at me with the hope of a little girl asking for a brand new pony. I grin. If he knows what's good for him, he will. A shaky laugh reaches my ears, and I can no longer withstand the distance between us, small as it is. Ignoring the flare of burning pain in my shoulder, I dive my fingers through her curls and pull her into me, crashing my lips against hers. She opens for me earnestly, a soft moan greeting my tongue. She tastes divine, and I'm unable to restrain myself from devouring her, licking her eager little mouth and biting her delicate lip. Her hands flatten against my stomach before slowly gliding up to my chest, taking her time exploring the surface of my bare flesh. All the while, it sends tremors throughout my body, her touch dismantling my restraint inch by inch. My cock firmly presses against my zipper on my trousers, hard enough to crack ice in the South Pole. Our kiss grows hungrier. We feast on each other, yet it only leaves us even more starving. Fuck, Genevieve. I love you so much. I groan against her mouth. I bite her bottom lip and drag it through my teeth, savoring her taste, before diving back in for more. She whimpers against me, scarcely getting out her breathless response through impatient kisses.
I love you too.
Bullet wound be damned. I grab the back of her thighs and lift her in my arms, carrying her to the couch and dropping us both onto it. Our hands tangle and fumble as she unfastens my belt and trousers, releasing me from the confines and wrapping her hand around my cock. Meanwhile, I shove her dress up past her waist, fumbling with her undergarments. I growl, growing impatient with her girdle and straps, and instead tear her underwear from her body. She gasps, and instead of dropping it on the floor, I rip myself away from her lips and stuff the shredded fabric in her mouth. If you want to know how good I make your pussy feel, then I expect you to fucking taste it too, I growl. Panting, she stares up at me with rounded eyes, utterly shocked. Yet she makes no move to spit them out, and instead watches me closely as I line up the tip of my cock with her opening and drive inside her. Her eyes roll and her scream is muffled, though the sound is no less erotic. Pinning her knees to her ears, I fuck her quickly and roughly, enraptured by the sight of her tight pussy gripping my cock as I slide in and out of her. Look how desperate your cunt is for me, I snarl. But I don't think you know what true desperation is like, do you? She nods, adamantly disagreeing, but my little Rose has gone through life without ever being plucked from her place of comfort. Before her husband turned to the bottle, he treated her delicately, those thorns keeping her safe in gentle hands. How unfortunate for her that I'd gladly bleed if it means crushing her beneath my fist. Hold your legs right there, baby. If you let go, I stop. Confused, she replaces my hands on the back of her thighs, keeping her legs spread and knees up to her head. With one hand, I rub her clit in tight circles until her eyes flutter and her back arches. Once she's comfortable in her pleasure, I close my other hand around her throat, triggering another stunned expression. A tinge of unease bleeds into her stare, though my cock and fingers keep her distracted enough. However, I quite like the way she wears fear, so I squeeze tight, a squeak slipping through before I sever her oxygen. Instantly, her cheeks redden and her body shudders beneath me. Yet another moment where I wish I could photograph her staring up at me just like that. Bright blue eyes filled with pleasure and panic, her brow furrowed, and those pretty red lips stuffed with her soaked underwear. Fuck, baby, you look so goddamn pretty when you're desperate, I groan, my balls tightening from the view alone. My needy little slut. She's unable to make a noise, but her body speaks plenty. Violent tremors overtake her, and her nails claw at her own skin, leaving behind red marks as I pound into her. Red-faced, she squeezes her eyes shut and slides her hand over to my wrist, her arm barred across the back of one of her thighs. Crescent moons form in my skin, her thorns surfacing and drawing blood. As if it's not enough, crimson trickles down the same arm from my shoulder injury, though the pain is indiscernible beneath the ecstasy holding my body hostage. My own moans make up for her forced silence, pouring from my throat like water from a spigot. If anything, my pleasure makes her wilder. This is true desperation, Mia Rosa, I bite out through clenched teeth. This is what I feel when you are near, so completely taken by you that I can't fucking breathe. Her cunt clamps down on me the moment the last word leaves my mouth, and I release her throat, allowing her to belt out a broken scream.
Ronaldo!
Her outcry is muffled from the underwear in her mouth, and she seizes beneath me as the pleasure contorts her body. Even her fingers stiffen and splay wide, her hands sightlessly fluttering around, unable to grasp onto anything solid. She clenches around my cock tightly, and instantly my vision blackens and I see stars. The orgasm rushes through me unexpectedly. I thought I had it under control, but her pussy is too goddamn tight, and it rockets me right over the edge.
Oh, fuck, baby,
I shout, becoming lightheaded from the dizzying rush of pleasure coursing through me.
Fuck, yes, milk my fucking cock.
Hips gyrating, she does exactly that. My release pours into her in rivulets, filling her until it leaks from the sides and spills onto the couch. My body trembles violently even as I come down. The aftershocks are persistent, and I twitch endlessly while waiting for my vision to return. When it does, I'm resentful of my limited sight. More than anything, I'd love to have a full view of her heaving below me, still shaking as I do, while little sounds ripple from her throat uncontrollably. Her chest, throat, and face are still flushed tomato red, but her expression is slack with exhaustion. Panting, I sit up straight and am briefly confused when I notice we are not in the same spot as before. It takes a few seconds to process that I fucked her so hard, I moved the couch a good foot from where it had been. She notices too, glancing around before turning her bright gaze back to me, her astonishment evident.
If you wanted to rearrange my furniture, you could have just asked me.
February 12th, 1945. John came home from work sober and with a stack of new books in hand for Sarah. She loves reading like I do, and when she saw them, she lost her mind with excitement. She's gotten used to seeing him less, first because of his drinking and gambling, then because of his second job. He told her he is now working for a big client on top of his business, so she understands his new hours now, though he didn't dare tell her who the client was. I would be beside myself if Sarah knew who John's boss is, but John and I are both well aware of how children overhear all sorts of gossip from their parents. After gifting her the books, he challenged her to a dance competition. For the first time in so long, we turned on the radio and danced and sang together as a family. And when Sarah grew tired, John had her step up onto his feet, and he swirled her around the living room. Sarah was so happy, and she stared up at her father with so much love that it made my heart ache. If I knew that he would come home like that every night, it would make staying with him easier. My heart has long since been stolen by another, but at least Sarah's would stay intact. Until she turns 18, that is. Because then, I will be the one to break her heart.
Chapter 32, The Raven, March 9th, 1945.
I'm going to miss you,
John whispers in my ear from behind me, startling me damn near half to death. I screech and whip around, only to be pinned to the counter by John's arms gripping the edge on either side of me. My heart is racing, and I stare at him with residual terror as I lean away from him. Despite his being my husband, a hint of beer lingers on his breath, though it's admittedly better than the sour stench of whiskey that usually greets me. After all this time, I hoped I would grow used to the awful smell, yet it doesn't get any easier. His drinking, his loosening temper, none of it has gotten any easier. You nearly killed me, I whisper, hand over my chest.
I could never kill you,
John says, chuckling.
That would mean I would have to live without you, and that simply will not do.
I force a smile and lightly push at his chest. He resists, and my discomfort grows. Well, of course not. You couldn't cut a tomato without slicing open your finger, let alone cook anything. I tease, though my voice is tightening. He still won't release me, and it feels as if a wet blanket is constricting around me, preventing me from moving or breathing. The man is many things, but he is certainly not a quitter. I've evaded further romantic touches between us, and since his stolen kiss back in January, I've told him I wasn't ready to go back to the way things used to be. It led to another fight, of course. I told him that unless he ventures to take advantage of me again, then he does not have access to my body. And if he does disrespect me as he did before, then there will be no hope of my ever forgiving or loving him again. So while he doesn't dare kiss me or try to engage in any intimacy at night, he persists in winning back my affection.
Your culinary skills aren't the only reason I need you, Gigi.
He berates lightly.
I don't know how I would survive if anything were to happen to you.
I roll my eyes and push him away again, this time firmly enough for him to comply. Subtly, I inhale a deep breath, grab Sarah's breakfast plate, and set it on the kitchen island, despite her not being down here yet. Still, the gesture offers me a bit of space from him. I'm going away for 1 weekend, John. I think I'll be fine, I assure. I don't believe there is much to kill me on the Oregon coast. Sarah barrels into the kitchen before he can respond, with her hair unbrushed and crust still clinging to her lashes. She's been an absolute nightmare getting up this morning for school. Her bottom lip is protruding into a pout, and her brow is furrowed. Mama, do you have to go away? She whines, sliding onto the stool at the kitchen island and slapping her Schools at War journal onto the surface, along with her rucksack. Then she slumps and rests her chin on her hand, her frown deepening. Ever since I construed my little lie about going on a girls' trip with Daisy this weekend, she's been in a mood. Sarah undeniably favors me over John and tends to get moody if I'm away for too long. I have gone on trips in the past, and I'm always met with the same attitude beforehand. Yes, my dear, I sigh, leaning on the counter before her. I hate that she's so upset. You know I go on one every year with Daisy. She bangs the tip of her shoe against the island, pouting further. It's stupid, she mutters, picking up her fork and flapping it through her scrambled eggs aimlessly, clinking the metal against the plate.
Ah, you're hurting my feelings over here, princess,
John teases, placing a hand over his heart dramatically. She flicks an annoyed glance his way, radiating teenage angst.
What if I sneak you ice cream later?
He bargains. The sullen look on her face doesn't disappear, but he has her attention. How much ice cream? She asks, glancing at him. Sarah rarely takes advantage of situations, but with her father, she will bleed him dry any chance she gets, only because she knows he's the only one who will let her get away with it. I give John a look, but he ignores me.
Until your tummy hurts.
How many flavors? I narrow my eyes at the two of them as they still ignore me. He taps his finger against his chin, pretending to contemplate it.
How about 3?
Fine, she mumbles, though one corner of her lips sneaks upward. Don't forget that I have to get my war stamps after school, but then I expect to be drowned in ice cream. John does a mock salute, earning an eye roll from our daughter, though it lacks heat. It'll only be 2 days. I promise I'll come home first thing Sunday morning, I tell her. Will you bring me back something? She asks, staring up at me with puppy dog eyes. I always do, I sing. Now quit playing with your food and eat it. You leave for school in 10 minutes. Fine, but I expect a really cool present. Expensive, too. None of those touristy gifts. I grin. Brat. March 9th, 1945. This is the first time I've been in Ronaldo's car, and something about the way he uses his palm to control the steering wheel is tantalizing. I squirm, clenching my thighs as he drives us down 101. Once John and Sarah left, Ronaldo picked me up. Usually, Daisy drives us on our trips, so it wasn't unusual for me to need to wait for my ride to arrive. There's an undeniable thrill that I'm sneaking away from my friends and family to spend a weekend with Ronaldo. For the first time, there will be no time constraints, and we will be able to enjoy one another freely and fully for these couple days. Since the moment he picked me up this morning, I haven't been able to stop bouncing in my seat with excitement. "What do you think you'd do for work if you weren't a mobster?" I ask, breaking a tension-filled silence. It's not that I'm not comfortable with him. It's that I'm tempted to mount him at every turn, and that's not very ladylike. He twists his lips, contemplating.
"I don't know, to be truthful. You may find it odd, but I would have loved to research snakes."
I blink, entirely taken aback by his response. "Snakes? Why on earth would you research snakes?" He grins, casting a mirthful glance my way.
"They're quite fascinating. I used to pick them up as a little boy and carry them around everywhere. It was one of the few times I got a reaction out of my mother. I always thought I'd work with them someday."
I scoff. "Well, then you should know. I will have a fit if you bring one of those to me," I warn playfully. "But I suppose I can see why you would find them to be fascinating creatures. If I set aside my fear of them, I can admit they're quite magnificent." It's rare that I see Ronaldo take on a boyish expression, but at this moment, that's exactly how he looks.
"I could tell you all about him, but I won't bore you with the details. However, don't be surprised if I confess to bringing one or two home one day,"
he tells me. "Fine, but I will not be holding them." He hums, his tone changing from joyful to something more seductive.
"I will just have to dream about you naked in my bed then."
He groans and my core pulses.
"A python wrapped around your throat and holding you still for me while I feast on you and fuck you. It would be a dream of mine."
My mouth dries, and I stare at him almost blankly, since I hadn't expected him to say something so dark, so alluring. I try to swallow, to speak, to do anything but flap my lips soundlessly. But he's moving before I can, silencing me further. His left hand grabs the steering wheel, and his right slides to my thigh. I bite my lip as he hooks his fingertips beneath my brown wool coat and red dress, gliding his hand over my thick stockings. Midway, my stockings end, and his palm connects with bare flesh, sending a tremor throughout my body.
"So, where does Daisy think you are?"
Ronaldo asks, changing the subject and deliberately acting as if he didn't confess a profane fantasy to me. There's a satisfied glimmer in his eye, and I'm tempted to dare him to make good on it, as terrifying as it would be. "I wrote her a letter a couple weeks ago, telling her that John and I ran into some troubles and that I'd be staying home this year," I respond, deciding to let it go. My voice is cracking with desire, but I refuse to be embarrassed about it. I like how he teases me, and it'll only be so much sweeter if I make that dream come true for him.
"What if she and John run into each other?"
"She lives far away enough that I needn't worry about that happening. She never did care for John anyway. We've been taking these girls' weekends for over a decade. During summer, we're always so busy with the kids, and the dead of winter is an awful time to travel. So every March, Daisy organizes a girls' weekend for the two of us and a few other gals from her town, all of us desperate to get away from the snow. We drive down to the Oregon coast, where we rent a little cabin in the mountains
and enjoy the misty rain while we gossip and relax by a fire, just enjoying one another's company. I'm saddened I won't see her this year, but it was the perfect opportunity to get away with Ronaldo, allowing us uninterrupted time to explore each other thoroughly, without fear of being caught.
Why's that?
He asks, keeping his tone neutral. Since our first argument back in January, he's kept a cool head when it comes to John. We're still hopeful for our future, but we agreed that while our situations may be temporarily binding, our love doesn't have to be. My mother was very strict and wanted me out of the house the day I turned 18. She expected me to be married and on my own, and pushed me to marry the first man I came across. I resisted at first and would flirt with all the boys. But then John came along, and he showed an interest in me that didn't begin and end with my body. He was stable and consistent, and his family was wealthy. I hated going home to my mother, so I gave in and married him within the year. Back then, Daisy was my best friend, and I think she could tell that I settled, even if I convinced myself I was in love. And as we grew older, our marriage became very monotonous. Daisy said the day I married him, the sparkle in my eyes dimmed. I never knew what she meant, but I think I understand now. Ronaldo squeezes my thigh, his touch now more comforting than provocative.
Were you ever happy with him?
He asks. I shrug. I thought I was. We'd got along perfectly well, and I think I was just so happy to be out of my mother's house that I would have been ecstatic to live in a cardboard box. Then we had Sarah, and my time was so full of her, I thought little about our marriage. We were always comfortable, and he was happy to accommodate my odd taste in decor when we built Parsons Manor. Then again, John never had an opinion on much. He was always the go-with-the-flow type, and I ended up making all the decisions over the years. I shrug again. We had a routine, we never fought, and I didn't know any different. Until I met you, that is.
Do you think Daisy would like me?
There's a smug little smirk on his face because he already knows the answer. I roll my eyes. She'd probably love you.
Even though I have ties to the mob?
I raise a brow. Daisy was wilder than I was. That'd probably make her even more intrigued. She had a thing for danger and thrills back then. And even though she's married with kids, she still loves an adventure. He grins, clearly pleased with my answer. She'd think you're more handsome, too, I tell him. He squeezes my thigh again, his approval detected in the way his fingers slide deeper between my legs.
Is that what you think, Mia Rosa?
Truthfully, there isn't even any competition. John isn't a bad-looking man by any means, but he is not Ronaldo. Yes, I whisper. He hums, the tip of his middle finger sliding over my clit.
Then maybe you should spread these legs so you can show me how pretty you look when you come for me.
March 9th, 1945. I almost got Ronaldo and I killed, and the only thing I can do is giggle about it like a schoolgirl. On the drive to Oregon, he insisted on playing with me, and something about being so alone with him in the car, yet knowing that at any moment someone could look over and see the ecstasy on my face, it did something to me. It made me feral, if I'm being honest. He made me orgasm, but it did nothing to abate the burning need in my lungs. So I leaned over, unfastened his trousers, and took him down my throat. The car swerved and curses fell out of his mouth. Yet there wasn't a single second I thought to stop, to even fear for my life. I was ravenous, and I swallowed him down like he was my only source of oxygen. And when he erupted, I drank from him like I had gone weeks without a drop of water.
He took one look at my face afterward, swerved the car across two lanes to take the nearest exit, and found a rest stop. I have never even considered having sex in a public building before, but at that moment, there was no question in my mind. I was drowning in lust. So we found a restroom, and he fucked me against the wall, his hand over my mouth to keep me silent. I shouldn't have come as hard as I did, and I should be ashamed. But I did, and I'm not. Chapter 33, The Raven, March 10th, 1945. Oh my, Ronaldo, I gasp, my eyes rounding at the corners as I take in the monstrosity before me. Yesterday, he brought me to a beautiful log cabin nestled in the Oregon woods, offering us privacy and a breathtaking view of the mountains surrounding us. The rain held off this morning, so he took me to a quaint coffee shop that served the most delicious croissants I've ever had. After, he said he wanted to introduce me to one of his favorite views on Earth. We had been walking on a trail for only a few minutes when the sound of rushing water arose. The second I saw the massive waterfall to my left, I lost all function to breathe. Mist clung to the air as we approached a small cement bridge, and I recognized it immediately from photographs I'd seen. Is that the Benson Bridge? Is this Multnomah Falls? My voice pitches higher with each passing syllable, excitement taking my insides hostage.
It is,
Ronaldo confirms quietly, an amused grin tugging up his lips. It's the most beautiful sight I've ever seen. I marvel when we stop in the middle of the bridge, my hand cupping over my mouth as I take it all in.
I couldn't agree more,
Ronaldo murmurs from beside me. A laugh tinkles from my throat, and I drag my wonder-filled stare to him, finding his gaze already on mine. This is incredible, I breathe. His answering smile is devastating, and maybe I misspoke because, truly, the sight of him at this moment is paralyzing. I force myself to look around before I do something silly like tackle him, the love I have for him nearly boiling over. How is no one here? This is such a famous location, I ask, frowning over the lack of tourists. If I didn't know any better, I'd think the place was abandoned.
I convinced the Forest Service to allow us the day here to ourselves,
he explains, tucking his hands in his trousers casually. My eyes nearly pop from my head, and I glance around, finding a lodge in the distance, yet not a single person in sight. How?
I can be pretty convincing,
he deflects. I narrow my eyes. Mr. Salvatore wouldn't have had an influence, now would he? He grins, confirming my suspicions. At this moment, I can hardly be ungrateful for his boss. The view is absolutely astounding, and I'm relieved that it's just the two of us. While it's unlikely anyone will recognize either of us here, there will always be a niggling doubt in the back of my mind that someone will expose my affair to John. I hate that we must hide, but rather than dwelling on that right now, I'm embracing how thrilling it is to be alone with him, outside of Parsons Manor. For the first time in 16 years, I feel free. Right now, I'm not a mother. I'm not a wife. I'm just me. Genevieve Matilda Parsons, a woman who has an unhealthy obsession with Gothic architecture, who wears red lipstick like it's armor, who pours herself into a journal lest she go mad, and a woman who is helplessly in love with a made man. But what else do I love? Do I love nature? This waterfall is beautiful, and I hadn't thought to explore other wonders of this earth. Do I love long walks on the beach at sunset, or do I prefer to watch the sun rise? Am I afraid of the ocean, or do I dare swim out into its depths and let it welcome me in? I love the written word, but what other forms of artistry do I enjoy? Am I an artist? Can I paint, draw, play an instrument? I can sing, sure, but what if I want to sing to thousands and not just a family of two? There are so many questions I have about myself, questions I didn't realize I desperately need to know the answer to. I had never thought to ask them before, because so much of my life revolved around being a mother and a wife. Even with Daisy and the girls with our annual trips, we were so happy to be away from our houses that we settled into a temporary one, content to relax in a cabin and gossip about the homes we were desperate to escape. Rather than exploring the world and trying new things and discovering who we were outside the roles we were bound in, we locked ourselves in an emptier cage and called it freedom. But here, now, I am a woman who wants to discover herself, and I want to do it alongside the man standing before me, introducing me to a new world outside of the walls that had begun to feel more like a prison than a home.
You know what that means, don't you?
Rinaldo questions, pulling me away from my thoughts. He holds out his hand for me to grab hold of, and I take it without hesitation, grinning as he tugs me into his firm chest. It's cool outside today, yet I burn beneath his gaze. The sun could extinguish from the sky, and his embrace would still keep me warm. What does it mean? I ask, my heart beating in my chest as his stare grows hungry. He leans in, his lips a hair breadth away from mine.
No one will hear you scream,
he whispers. I can only manage a blink before he's grabbing my elbow and guiding me to the railing, pushing me against the thick cement. However, I continue to peer at him over my shoulder with confusion. What are you? He's dropping into a crouch, distracting me from airing the rest of my question.
Face forward and enjoy the view, Genevieve,
he orders. I gasp when he grips the edge of my dress and lifts, exposing my thick stockings all the way up to my girdle and underwear. Rinaldo, I chastise, quickly glancing around again, despite his affirmations that no one is here. He pins his crystal blue stare on me, a stern expression arranged on his face.
The only waterfall I'm interested in is the one I'll be drinking from between your thighs. Now, face forward and bend over the railing, Mia Rosa. I won't ask you again.
The man has lost his mind. He flattens his palm on my lower back and applies pressure, encouraging me to lean over the railing. My heart races, and it's impossible not to notice the steep drop to the pool below us. He makes quick work of unclipping the garters from my crotchless girdle and tugging down my underwear, letting it fall to my feet. I jerk beneath his touch, his fingers cold as he spreads me wider apart. Biting my lip, I glance behind me, my dress draped over his large body, concealing him in his devilish act. He turns around before fitting his broad shoulders between my legs, his back to the railing so I'm straddling his face, his hot breath warming my throbbing core. You're going to make me suffocate you, I berate. He hardly has any room between my thighs, for God's sake.
Does one stand beneath a waterfall expecting to breathe?
He retorts, clearly unconcerned.
I beg you to suffocate me, Mia Rosa. I'll die a happy man.
The first brush of wetness gliding up my slit has my mouth parting, and I force my gaze to the thunderous waterfall before me. It's far out of reach, yet it feels like it is mere feet away, the power of it as breathtaking as Rinaldo's tongue spearing inside me. A moan builds in my throat as he thoroughly explores me, licking the inside of my walls before focusing his attention on my clit. My eyes cross, flutter, and roll, utter euphoria consuming my body as he eagerly devours me. My knees grow weak, and he stiffens his tongue into a point as he lashes at the bundle of nerves, both persistent and relentless. I make no effort to quiet the cries pouring from my lips, panting them out in staccato bursts of air. I'm unsure if even Ronaldo can hear them beneath the crash of water, and I don't care anyway. It feels too good, and at this moment, I am convinced I'd do anything in this entire world for it to never cease. If I could live with his head between my thighs, I'd keep him fed for as long as he breathes. He'd never go hungry with me in his mouth. That I can be sure of. My lower stomach tightens and my knees quake, the ecstasy mounting and mounting until I'm pushing my hips into his face and rolling them mercilessly, forcing him to grab hold of them to keep me still. My head is light, and if I were to tip over this railing, I don't know if I'd know any different. It already feels as if I'm teetering on the edge of a cliff, seconds away from free falling. Sensing my looming climax, he sucks my clit into his mouth while simultaneously plunging two fingers inside me, evoking a sharp outcry as I tumble straight over the edge. Despite the hand on my hip firmly grounding me on the bridge, I'm as certain of my fall as I am of the water cascading over the cliff hundreds of feet above us. There is no end in sight for me or the falls. We will drown anyone who dares stand beneath us, just as Ronaldo wanted. He drinks me in while pumping and curling his fingers inside me. All the while, I lose myself to the stars detonating in my vision. It feels as if it takes hours to reach my landing, and even then, it feels like I'm floating. The only thing that brings me somewhat back to earth is Ronaldo's sudden absence between my thighs. Panting heavily, I blink, willing my vision to fully return. His touch reappears before my sight, and he's once more pushing the fabric of my dress and wool coat over my hips, the cool air a balm to my heated skin. He allows me no warning, and in a single thrust, he's seating his entire length inside me. I choke, my eyes popping wide from what would have been damn near a violent invasion had I not been sopping wet. A vulgar noise arises when he slowly retreats, then drives back inside me again, earning a sharp cry. A hand curls into my hair and fists tightly, his mouth inches from my ear as he growls.
How cruel is it that Mother Nature spent millions of years forming such a beautiful sight, only for you to exceed it within mere minutes?
If he wants my words, then he will not get them. I'm only capable of strangled noises as he savagely fucks me, my back arching and allowing him to drive deeper inside me. It's almost too much, and it feels as if the tip of his length is hitting the inside of my stomach. However, the bliss supersedes any discomfort, and I allow myself to embrace the fact that I'm being openly ravished on a bridge over 100 feet in the air. The mere thought of it is so thrilling that a dormant side of me takes over. Any semblance of modesty bleeds out from my pores, replaced by a woman overcome with lust and shamelessness. I rest my chest on the railing, crane my head over my shoulder, and reach behind me, grasping each cheek of my backside and spreading myself wider for him. A loud moan erupts from his throat at the sight, and when he lifts his molten stare to mine, I let him see just how wild he makes me. There's so much happiness inflating my chest, so much freedom, that I boldly smile at him, a laugh mixing with another lascivious moan. His eyes round at the corners and his hips stutter, seemingly taken aback by my behavior, yet equally enraptured by it. You make my pussy feel so good, Ronaldo. I breathe, biting my lip when his expression morphs from shock to ferocity. Within the blink of an eye, he's no longer a man but a beast. His hold on me grows bruising, and any regard for my well-being extinguishes. There's no sympathy as he lifts my upper body by my hair and shoves me forward until my hips slam against the railing. He pushes my head far over the safety of it until my feet lift from the bridge. The roar of rushing water swallows my startled scream, my arms flailing before I desperately grab the balusters, gripping them painfully tight as if they'll prevent me from teetering over the edge completely. A glittering pool 100 feet below expands across my vision, my only reprieve from the frightening sight being the backs of my eyelids. We must be over 100 feet in the air, and he's forcing half my body to hang over the edge. Ronaldo! I squeal, but he either doesn't hear me or doesn't care. My feet kick, finding purchase on the base rail and giving me some type of balance right as he resumes his thrusting, pounding into me with ferocity. With his towering height, my position only makes it easier for him to hit all the right angles that have my eyes threatening to cross. Yet the terror overrides my common sense, and I thrash against him, desperate to get back onto solid ground.
The harder you struggle, the more you tip over the edge.
He warns roughly.
You wanted to act like a whore, baby, so you're gonna take my cock like one.
One hand presses firmly onto my back, refusing to allow me to sit up, while he uses the other to grab my backside, squeezing almost painfully before delivering a sharp slap, moaning loudly as he does. I gasp, fear and ecstasy battling ruthlessly in my brain. The war between them becomes so violent that they merge as one, and I cannot feel one without the other. Instead of fighting, I coerce my muscles to relax, allowing him to unleash himself and me to eagerly take all he has to give. I force myself to embrace the mix of heady terror coursing through my system, and rather than cowering from the danger of falling, I lean into it. Somehow, it only heightens the pleasure, and I think I quite like the thrill of death. His pace is merciless, his moans unrestrained.
Such a perfect fucking cunt.
He bites out through gritted teeth.
This pussy was made for me, to fuck and fill with my cum as much as I goddamn please.
I couldn't deny that even if I wanted to, especially when I feel as if I was made just for him, too. Yes, yes, Ronaldo, I chant. I'm unsure if he can hear me, but it matters little.
I'm gonna claim all these tight little holes.
He growls, right before I feel pressure on my backside. My eyes pop wide and I stiffen, though he doesn't relent. Ronaldo! I screech, attempting to wiggle his hand away. He delivers a sharp slap on my cheek, then returns his thumb to the tight ring of muscle.
You're mine, Genevieve.
He snarls.
I dare you to fight me. I'd love nothing more than to show you just how helpless you are.
He's right. I am helpless, as he slowly inserts the tip of his thumb inside me, evoking a foreign sensation that has me squirming. However, as he goes deeper, my pleasure heightens, and when he begins to pump his thumb in and out, I'm unable to deny how good it feels. Oh, I whimper, my eyes fluttering and the glittery pool beneath blurring. I feel so full, almost too full. There's a pressure building in my lower stomach, and between that and his thumb, it's almost a frightening feeling. My body is reacting to him in ways that I can't control, and I'm powerless to stop it.
I will be stuffing my cock in this tight hole soon, baby. By the time you go home, you'll be so fucking full of my cum, it will leak through your pores.
My eyes are rolling, but he doesn't relent on his filthy words.
What excuses will you make for yourself when you can't walk, huh, baby? Let's hear how you'll lie through your teeth.
I can't get another word out. Too overwhelmed with what he's doing to me, what he's saying.
Your pussy and ass are gonna be swollen when I'm finished. What will you tell your husband?
Maybe I'll tell him the truth. I bite out breathlessly, struggling to get the words out of my constricted throat. that I was your whore and let you fuck me anywhere you wanted, then maybe I'll tell him I much prefer your cock over his. The sound out of his mouth is a cross between a dark chuckle and a deep groan, emanating pure satisfaction.
That's my good girl,
he croons.
You're so good at being my whore, aren't you? So fucking eager to please me, so desperate for my cock.
Yes, I cry, the pleasure becoming too much now. Rinaldo, don't stop. I'm going to... I'm unable to finish, another orgasm washing over me as suddenly as a tidal wave, and I'm swept away. I feel rather than hear the scream leave my throat, my mind quickly held hostage to the euphoria rushing through me. At the same moment, his hips still as his release floods me, and his moans turn into whimpers. By the time we both come down, Rinaldo's knees threaten to give out on him, so he gently pulls me back onto the bridge, and then down onto the ground. I don't care that the cement is wet and dirty. Stars are still floating in my vision, and adrenaline is still coursing through my veins. I feel high, and my chest is so laden with joy that I feel like bursting at the seams. A laugh trickles from my throat, breathless and cracked, but still so full of life. Rinaldo tucks himself away before lying flat on his back, heaving, his own smile stretched across his face. I lie beside him, a few more choked giggles disturbing my unsettled breath. Tears well in my eyes as I stare at the overcast sky, and I'm unsure of the exact reason, but I do know that it stems from happiness. Thank you for showing me a love for waterfalls, I whisper. I never knew I loved them. I feel his gaze burning into the side of my face, where a lone tear leaks down my temple. His index finger swipes the tear away, but he doesn't coddle me or demand I tell him why I'm crying. Instead, he whispers,
"There are so many more I can take you to."
My bottom lip trembles and my heart squeezes painfully. Without telling him, he understands my emotions. He knows it isn't often that I learn something new about myself. At least, not before he arrived. I want to swim in one, I tell him, keeping my voice quiet. Can we do that too?
If you promise we can climb it too,
he answers, his tone warm and gentle. I grin, liking the sound of that. Will you take me to the Atlantic Ocean? I must know if sunrises or sunsets over the water are better.
Then you shall know.
Can we take classes together? We can learn to paint or sketch, or maybe even throw pottery.
You'll master all of them in no time.
Another tear wiggles free, and it feels like my heart is soaring. Will you take me to the desert, where it's hot and sandy, and there isn't a single tree in sight? I've only ever known the mountains and ocean.
Only if we bring lots of water.
I bark out a laugh because his response is both unexpected and everything I needed to hear. My face hurts from how hard I grin, and I turn to look at him. A knowing smile graces his wide lips. He stares at me as if he already has all the answers, and the only answer is me. Could we do these things with Angelo as your boss?
We could do anything you dream of, Mia Rosa. He owes me his life, more than he has to give, which is why he will grant me my own.
I chew on my lip, tracing over every inch of his skin. What about the... I trail off, attempting to find a delicate way to put it. The contracts.
Undoubtedly, I will miss them, but there is nothing more fulfilling than you, Genevieve. I will gladly wash my hands clean of blood, if it means your hands will replace it.
Butterflies unleash in my stomach, and I am at a loss over how this villainous man became my hero. You've never known a life outside of it, but maybe you will learn new ways to satisfy that part of you. I murmur.
I already have.
He returns, a sly grin blooming on his face. His eyes are heated as they trail over my disheveled state. I laugh, though my insides warm and thighs clench.
Though I must admit,
he continues,
I can't say with certainty that I will ever be fully satisfied. I have a terrible feeling it will never be enough, and I'll always demand more. Are you prepared for that, my love?
I'm prepared for anything, so long as it's with you, I whisper, lifting my pointer finger and trailing my red painted nail over his soft lips. He nips at it, trapping the tip of my finger between his straight teeth. I bite my lip, tingles spreading throughout my body as he stares at me through thick lashes, fire raging within. Releasing me, he nearly growls.
We better leave before I take you here again.
I arch a brow. Would that be so terrible?
Of course not, my love. But there's so many things I have yet to show you, and so many places with beautiful views to enjoy while I pleasure you.
My cheeks flush, and I lift my knees, preparing to sit up. Only then do I realize my legs are still trembling, and I'm unsure how on earth I'm going to stand. I scoff, finding his gaze locked onto my shaking knees. I suppose you were right, my dear, I say, chuckling. I don't know if I can walk.
I'll carry you. You don't need your legs when you're with me.
He rasps. No, won't I need them to ride you? He growls, though it quickly bleeds into a groan.
Keep it up, Genevieve. This day has only just begun.
I know, and you've already nearly sent me plummeting into a waterfall. I chuckle while rolling toward him, bending my arm to rest my head on my hand. We have more adventures to be had, but I'm content to stay here just a little longer, basking in the moment of lying on a bridge with a rushing waterfall as our backdrop. You could have killed me, you know, I tease lightly. He grins, and though he radiates happiness, there's a seriousness to his stare as he proclaims,
I would have followed you.
You shouldn't, I say softly. You have so much life to live, and maybe enough room in your heart to love another. He's shaking his head before I can finish. He raises his fingers to my lips as if to silence me, staring at me with so much love, I can't help but lean in and place a kiss on his calloused flesh.
There will never be another, nor will I live a life without you. Death awaits us all, Genevieve. Even still, it will not keep me from you.
There will never be sufficient words to respond, so I capture his lips in a passionate kiss, content that no matter what happens, he will always be with me, in life and in death. May 16th, 1946. I love you, Ronaldo. With every beat of my heart and every fiber of my being, I love you so much. Not even death can take that away from us.
We hope you have enjoyed this Brilliance audio production. Performance copyright 2024 by Brilliance Publishing, Inc. All rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance audio titles, please visit our website at brilliancepublishing.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.